In a world of EMS podcasters, EMS Office Hours is the only live podcast bringing you the latest topics and opinions in EMS. Turn down your scanner and turn up your speakers as we join Jim Hoffman and Josh Knapp on their latest EMS podcasting journey.
Welcome to EMS Office Hours. I am Jim Hoffman.
I'm Josh Knapp.
And I'm Dave Brenner.
So here we are, gentlemen, the first show of 20, the first really big show of 2021. So
no, they're not going to know who Ed Sullivan is.
You don't know that. It might be one or two dinosaurs of EMS that listen, you know.
Jurassic EMS.
Yeah, Jurassic, that's another one, right?
Yeah.
I actually saw, someone was having a shit fit on one of those EMS.
The COVID and dinosaurs have been going back and forth.
There was one with the dinosaur one where they posted something, I think you're right, Josh, I think they posted something about COVID and the moderator pulled it.
He banned them.
Yeah, and they were upset. And because it didn't follow the group's thing that it's not supposed to be about, I guess, current events. You're only supposed to talk about, you know, old-timer EMS stuff. But I don't think he should have banned them. I mean, he could have just gave him a warning, you know. I can't sympathize. I got fucking banned from one of those EMS groups, so no warning, too.
Oh, my God.
I would never join a group that would take me as a member.
Yeah, thank you, Groucho.
I mean, I, you know.
You know, I want to know. I mean, you know, Jim is by far the youngest among us. You know, he's the baby, and so he would know the Groucho. But he would even know the Groucho. I wonder about people who are watching us now thinking, who are these old farts, and who is Groucho?
We're going to help him out.
He was a Muppet, wasn't he? Groucho was the Muppet?
Yes, Groucho was the Muppet. Wasn't it with the cookies?
No, that's Cookie Monster.
Yeah. Groucho's out of the garbage pail. So
talk about retirement, shouldn't we?
Well, I wanted to kind of talk about that. I think last time, Josh, you and I had kind of ended the episode talking about, joking about, you know, 401k, you know, disability is a new 401k, you know, for EMS, you know, not to get hurt in this job because there's not a lot of, you know, support when it comes to that if you get hurt right in EMS. And then started talking about, you know, and then we started talking about maybe we should talk about things like that and give people, I guess, ideas on things they can do if they don't know about it, or if they do know about it and they're procrastinating and not taking action on doing something that maybe they should.
And this isn't information that's specific to EMS. I mean,
right,
if you're a young person, old person, any person, you know, and you plan on life after your job, you've got to start considering the issues of paying for that life.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, you see so many times, you know, people that have hurt themselves, they're not in doing it anymore because they got injured, you know, and they don't know what to do. You know, they start looking for new careers at being older, you know, and it's hard. And I mean, and you talk about that. And then the flip side of that, I'm seeing a lot of people, I guess maybe because of COVID, I don't remember seeing it more, but I feel like I'm seeing it more now, is people going into these Facebook groups and saying, hey, I'm 48, I'm 52, or whatever, the too late for me to get into EMS, you know, yeah. Am I too old to get into this job, you know, and I don't know. I mean, part of me wants to say, yeah, it's kind of old to be getting into this job, not because of the mental end of it, the physical part of it.
At 40? I mean,
not 40, but, you know, 48, 50, I think over, you know, past 45. I mean, I don't know. I feel like you're.
I'll tell you,
I
joined EMS in my 40s.
Yeah, look at you now.
In my 40s.
Look at shit.
Huh?
Hey, look at you now. You look like crap.
And I'm fine. I'm fine.
Exactly. What did we talk about last time, Josh, right? How if you're not careful, you end up being that person that shows up into the crew room shaped like the letter S, right?
And you want to know, you want an example of that? Just go to a training class. Go to a training class. You know, I mean, if you're not in a small organization that's in the middle of nowhere, if you have like instructors come in and out, you're going to come across one or two guys who are not doing the job anymore. And this was their fallback, which was
teaching.
Training.
Yeah.
Teaching. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's not a bad, you know, that's not a bad way to go. But, you know, keep in mind, if you're physically not able to do the job anymore, any other job is going to have its challenges as well. Even a desk job, because sitting at a desk for 8 hours a day is strenuous.
Yeah.
People look at, oh, sitting at a desk, my God, you know, and it's like, well, think about sitting in an ambulance, you know? Think about those days, those unique, rare days you've had the no-hitter, but you've been sitting in the bus all day, and then you get out, and even though you've gotten out for lunch or gotten out to go to the bathroom, the majority of your hours is in that seat, and now you get out and you can't stand up straight.
Yeah.
There's reason for that.
It's not good for you.
Yeah, listen, there was a guy, Brian Foss, I believe his last name was, who did a lot about, he started a company to try to help, you know, first responders with just that. Sitting in the ambulance all day, you know, stretching, giving tips to stretch, giving tips how to start your shift so that you didn't, you know, you had a lesser chance of getting injured because you were keeping mobile, you know, not letting yourself get stagnant. And then, of course, relaying that to people who were supervisors and managers in EMS. And like you said, Josh, sitting at a desk, you know, all day, you know, it's important to, you know, to do that. But, you know, you think about the long term. I think some people get into the job and then they get with companies or agencies that are the retirement plan, right? The 20 and out, 25 and out type plan. And I know people that have done that and then they've retired and they went to another agency and they're working on another retirement package in that one. You know, one guy that either New York City medic. I knew him for years. He was one of the first medics in EMS. Retired, went to North Carolina and got another 15 years under his belt there. And you know,
wow.
So, and he stayed in EMS just in a different system.
Yeah, yeah.
When I used to be an assistant principal in New York City, in the New York City school system. And on a regular basis, we would hire retired police officers who were in their mid-40s. You know, they had their career. They did 20 or 25 in out, whatever it was. Mm-hmm. And they came in and they taught a bunch of them. Actually, most of the ones I hired became deans, disciplinary deans. Yeah. You know, I got to tell you, I was in one high school, I won't mention it, that I took an 8mm gun away from a kid. And immediately after that, I hired a police officer to be my dean. I said,
"Yeah,
I need people who know how to deal with this."
So
when I took the gun, I ran like a little kid to the cop that we had at the front of the building.
Right. But it's funny though, like you say that, right, Dave? And then like, and the guy I talked about as well. Like, I think a lot of people they retire from EMS and then they go do other things. I see a lot of people done. They've gone to work for government positions after they've retired, you know. And that's sort of, I guess, their game plan, right? That's their end game, is to, you know, they retire young because they started young, and then they can carry on to another profession within the same, I guess, niche, more or less, you know.
Well, you know, Jim.
What about the people that don't have that plan? I mean, there's so many of us that are out there that are going week to week, you know, paycheck to paycheck.
Have to do this for anybody who's a paramedic, especially not that you can't do it as an EMT. But a paramedic, you've gone through some fairly extensive biology. And I would strongly suggest that your plan B for what am I going to do when I am either fed up or had enough or injured or whatever, you should look at the teaching biology in the high schools. I mean, you got a great foundation. You know, you may not have all your cellular biology down, but you had it. You had it when you went to paramedic school. You had it. You can get that back. You can get college credits for it. You know, most, if you've gone, one of the colleges I'm affiliated with, I'll mention it, LaGuardia Community College. If you're a paramedic and you wanted to go back and get your associate's degree, they're going to give you 34 credits in paramedicine. But usually the paramedics there have to take anatomy and physiology. And, you know, they've got a foundation in it. And if you're looking for a plan B, because clearly 45 is too young to retire.
Yeah.
For most of us, you don't go from, 160 miles an hour to zero. Boom. Right. You know?
Right.
Not like a fly in the windshield. You might want to do something different. And
I mean, that's a good, you know, teaching is a good alternative, as we said before, but teaching doesn't have to be limited. And I think you make a great case, Dave. Teaching doesn't have to be limited to EMS. You don't have to get into a thing and teach people how to use a longboard or start an IV or any of that. I mean, high school is a real viable option. And it probably pays better and has better benefits if you stay in it long enough.
Yeah.
And usually, nobody vomits on you.
Yeah, right.
Usually.
Unless you give
us... You gotta watch where high school you're going. You don't want to go into the high school Dave was at where they have guns floating around. Like it's a prison.
Well, you know, that was just a short period of time, and they took care of it. It was a particular student, and he was mine.
Right. And what about other avenues of people to think about? I mean, you know, everyone's not smart like me. They didn't get into Uber early, invest in that on an early, you know, early outset, you know. That's an option, I guess, you know, for the investment part of it. But you've got to have the, you know, kind of fortitude to stay in that for it to benefit you, I guess.
Look, you know, I don't want to come on like, you know, the Wolf of Wall Street and say, you know, buy this stock at 6 cents and we'll play it up. But you should be, I mean, the stock market is a viable and sound way to make money. It's been proven, you know, over the last 100 years to be that. It has its ups and downs, but about every investment book, every thought on investing is, as long as you don't do certain things that churn or that you keep on getting in and out or whatnot. Right. Patience and investment over the long term is shown to yield results.
You're talking about diversified investments.
Diversified investments, you know.
Josh, you need to tell the people who you are.
What do you mean?
Did you do anything before you were a paramedic? Do you have any background in finance or...
I have about 15 years where I was a project manager working, specializing in financial services on Wall Street.
Okay, so you know, it's different than Dave. It's different than Dave Brenner telling you to buy Uber.
It's not. Look, I'm not a stockbroker. I don't want to present myself. I'm not a financial analyst in any way. But I rubbed shoulders with these guys for a long time, and I took their advice.
Are you a fiduciary?
Because I took their advice, I'm now able to, I'm starting my transition out of EMS and looking at other alternatives. I've been getting involved in real estate. The reason I can do that is because I was able to sock away the money. And what I really wanted...
Pre-EMS, you socked away that money.
No. In EMS, I socked away that money. Believe it or not, when I hit EMS, I had had a year and a half where I hadn't really been doing anything. The World Trade Center happened. I spent a year, 6 months, not a year, but 6 months solid involved in the cleanup and recovery effort at the World Trade Center. So really, my lion's share of my investment wealth came post 9/11. And the way, but I did it with a purpose. And I made sacrifices to do it because I needed to catch up. And it's a horrible place to be when you're in your 40s trying to catch up if you don't have certain skills or certain knowledge to back you up. And really what I want to say about it, the key word here is passive income. Income that you're saving your money and you're making money over it. And we all know that the interest rates in the banks today are nothing. You know, you get 0.4% on a checking account if you're lucky. And that's not the way to make money. But if you're making 10% year over year and you start out with $1,000 in the bank, or you can scrape together a few hundred bucks in the bank, by the end of the year, you can, you know, and contributions to it, passively, your income is going to grow faster than you ever realize.
Yeah, I mean, that's something I think, and again, listen, this is, you know, we talked about this before, where this isn't something that's just for EMS people, but when you look at the people that are in EMS, and they, and I mean, you talk to them, and I've talked to many of them, and a lot of them don't have that right. long-term plan. The plan is, oh, I'm going to go be a fireman, or I'm going to maybe be a nurse, and that's where I'm at right now. But, you know, I mean, I had plans when I first joined EMS too, and, you know, you end up, things change. Like your goals change, because your life changes. Maybe you get married, you have kids, maybe you get hurt, like we talked about as well, and then you're forced to, you know, kind of pivot. You know,
and your Social Security benefits are not a lot. You go out injured. Even if you, let's say you were a paramedic and you worked 30 years as a top-level paramedic, you made top pay, what you can expect back from Social Security is in the range of $1,600 to $2,200.
Right.
That's yeah. it, a month. And yeah. that isn't going to get you very far, considering that when you entered the market, you know, you could probably have bought a house for 50 grand, and now you can't touch a house for under 300.
Yeah.
You know, and there are aspects to this that you have to steel yourself to the idea, yeah, I'm not going to buy everybody drinks tonight at the bar, or I'm not going to go out and drink tonight. I'm going to take that money, that $100 that I was going to drink with, and put it in this account. The, you know, there's a couple of things, there's a couple of basics about financial wherewithal. The idea that Social Security is there is great. You know, it's definitely considered one of the legs of your financial retirement. But it was made, we have to understand, Social Security was developed in the 30s. The aspect at that time was, if you worked for a company for 20 years, you were going to get a pension.
Right.
What a lot of companies, and then you had the third leg of your stool, which was personal savings. And if you did all three of those investment
strategies,
say it again.
Strategies.
It's I was staying away from strategy because I don't know if Social Security is a strategy.
Tenets.
You know, but yeah. But the idea was is that you had three legs to your stool. Okay, three legs make a solid stool. What a lot of corporations did was they said, we can't afford pensions anymore. Besides, you have a 401k. A 401k is a great thing, and you should be doing it, and you should absolutely be doing it if you have, don't text me that way. You should absolutely, tricholis, that sounded a little painful. You should absolutely be matching what your employee matches. There is absolutely no reason.
Oh yeah, max out on that.
You are throwing away money. You are literally just like, you know, walk along, imagine seeing a $10 bill on the floor and not picking it up. That's what you're doing. So you absolutely have to. And unfortunately, in this day and age, you're probably well off to take another revenue stream and do automatic deductions from your bank account and pay it that way.
Josh, Dan, what I want to mention, though, is that I think what happens is, like you said, companies and agencies that have some sort of, you know, retirement, you know, thing, like a 401k, you know, 401k plan or 501b, whatever the hell they are, right?
EIO.
People, you know, that work in EMS, you're not making a lot of money. So to say, oh, I'm going to match what that is, to them, it sounds like a lot of money to be getting taken out of their check, right?
It's always scary to take money out of your check.
What's that?
It's always scary to take money out of your check.
But then if you go back to what you mentioned earlier, right, that is when you have to say to yourself, okay, would I rather match what my company is putting in or go buy drinks for everybody at the bar, right? This is where that comes in, some sort of discipline where you have to say, okay, maybe I'm not working for a place where I have a 20 and out retirement plan, a 25 and out retirement plan. This is a place where I have, you know, the 401k. So I have to try to build that up as much as I can. So when the time comes for me to get out, whether I get hurt or whatever, I have as much as possible in there.
And I want to hold on. I just want to jump in there because you said matching what they put in. What I want you to think about is not the ones that they're putting in, but there are plenty of employers that will match what you put in.
Right.
And even if they're only matching 50% of what you put in, that's 50%. You're not getting that at Chase Bank. At Chase Bank, in your checking account, it's 0.01%. That's a euphemism for zero. It's 0.01%. And in your savings account, it's 0.20%, unless you've got something extraordinary going on. If somebody says, I'll match 50% of what you put in everything that doesn't take food and rent off the table.
Right.
I need to when I first started teaching back in the Jurassic period, 1973. At the end of that first year, the payroll secretary, her name was, I'm not going to tell you her last name, but her first name was Honey. She says to me, Dave, I got to talk to you. I said, what's up? She says, you're not putting any money into our tax-deferred annuity. I said, I ain't got no money, honey. And she said, by the way, what's that from?
It
was the Big Bopper. And I said, I ain't got no money, honey. And that was really her name. She says, you put in 1 or 2%. You won't even notice it. It's pre-tax. So I said to her, I said, all right, let's go in. I'm all in 2%. And she was right. You don't notice it because, number one, it's pre-tax. And the accumulation of 2%, because I never changed it while I was working in the city schools. 2%. Then my first year's salary was under $10,000. I mean, that was good money, $9,600 a year back then. And when I left the city, which was 20 years later, and I'd been in and out of the city, and I ended up consolidating, they said, yeah, we're going to give you all your credit for your time in the pension system, but you've got this TDA. And I said, what's in there? $56,000.
Right. Right.
$56,000. And that was before I had the sense to say, you know, I should probably be putting in more. And nobody was matching that.
That's a perfect example of what I'm talking about passive income. You didn't even remember that it was being taken out of your check.
And you get honestly, used to it.
You know, honestly, you get used to it. You know, I just did a little calculation. So let's say you make $35,000 a year, all right? You divide that by 12, you're getting gross pay $2,900.
Make it $3,000.
Right?
Make it $3,000 a month. Let them have $36,000 a year.
$3,000 a month, okay? You get taxes, everything else. By the time you're done, you're getting back $1,800 a month, right? Give or take. In that, if you don't have a savings account, you're not already pulling out $300. If you take $50 a pay period. That's $100 a month. That's instead of 29 or 3 grand, you're now getting 2,900. You will not know the difference. You won't. It at the end of the day, when you're cashing your checks and riding out the electric and saving a little month to go out to the bar with the guys or girls, you won't notice that $100.
Especially if it's direct deposit.
And that's the key. Nowadays, you can do that. You can do all sorts of investment strategies with your paycheck. That and some of them, and here's the other thing, some of them are pre-tax.
Yes.
Some of them come out and they lower your tax base. So the actual taxes you pay at the end of the year are lower, but you're still keeping the money.
But I need to tell you though, Honey was wrong about one thing. Right? Honey said to me, Dave, when you retire and you're at a lower income, you'll pay less tax on the money that you take out. All right, she was way off on that.
Well, you know,
she was like, way off on that.
What I just said earlier, Dave, when you entered the market, when you started working, what could you buy?
I'm not talking about interest. I'm talking about the way things evolved.
No. What could you buy a house for?
Well, I remember when I bought my house, and
but it was under $100,000, right?
Oh, it was 48.
Okay.
It was 48.
All right. And if you were to buy the same house today,
10 times.
So, you know, there are things that beyond inflation add to our but hit us harder.
That's the American dream, is owning a house.
Right. And so you want to bring up kids, you know, you want to send them to a good school. You know, there are all these aspects that as an adult.
I want every kid to go to a good school. But that's not this conversation.
We could talk about educating our kids.
That's not this conversation.
Like I said, the goal, I guess, of this episode is, to really point out to people, especially the ones that feel like can't spare that $100 of check, the ones that feel like, you know, they're going paycheck to paycheck, and they're not even thinking, or they feel that that 15, 20, 30 years down the road is so far away that they'll get to it later. You know, I'll start investing later on. That's why I wanted to open this year up with this episode.
So there's one more. I have to do one more investment strategy. I'm sorry. There's one more investment strategy that pays like that. And that's called getting rid of all your credit card debt.
Yes.
Sure.
Because that's whack. That's whack. Before you start saving anything, you get rid of all your credit card debt.
Right.
All of it, every bit of it. There's no point trying to save if somebody's charging you 28% interest. There's no point.
Yeah, I clobbered that. I did that about 7 years ago.
Every good investment advisor or these pundits like Susie Orman or there's a guy out there, they all say before you invest a single penny, pay off your credit card debt because your credit card debt is paying yourself. You know, your credit card debt is money that is, it's reverse interest and it's coming out of your pocket.
And it's not 2%.
I sort of want to cap some of this off in terms of my opinions on where this first episode for the new year should go. I think the most important thing that you can do if you're starting out in EMS is be aware of what money, understand where it comes and goes. Okay. Start learning the different strategies that there are, and there are a bunch of them where you can save money, where you can passively take money out of your paycheck that you won't notice and accumulate money. And then there are more active ways. I am a big proponent of everybody getting a brokerage account because the stock market is what only a few people participate in, but it's open to everybody. And when I first started investing in the stock market, a trade had to be done on the phone through a broker, and it would cost you anywhere between $200 and $500, depending on how much you were trading. Now it's $6, now it's $3, and in some cases it's free. And, you know, if you take $100 and you play with it, or
a thousand, you can do online now. You don't have to speak to anybody.
You do it all on your phone. I haven't talked to any sort of account person in years. All of it's done on my app, on my phone.
You made all of those account people happy.
Yeah. But let's back this up. What am I talking about? I'm talking about educating yourself about money, not ignoring it, not saying, I got my paycheck, I'm going to go out and spend it. Understand that paycheck.
That's paycheck hysteria.
Means something bigger to you.
That's in the DSM-4, paycheck hysteria.
Paycheck hysteria. I like that. But these are the things, I mean, besides, you know, plotting out your life and saying, you know, this is if I get injured and I have to take a right turn, this is my plan. If I want to work 20 years in this job and get out, this is my plan. But plot it out, because the worst thing, and we all know this from emergency management, all right? Failure to plan is planning to fail. And it's same thing applies with money. So if you're not doing it now, when are you going to do it?
If not now, when?
Yeah. Yeah, and like I said, I think, you know, Dave, you mentioned something very important with the credit card debt. I think a lot of people are very quick into doing that. I mean, listen, I was working at a firehouse, and all these guys were driving these high-end, pickup trucks.
Right.
And I'm like, how they're making maybe $27,000 a year as their base salary. Like, how are they affording these? And so I started asking them, I was like, how are you guys even swinging this? And most of them were doing it because they had like an 8-year loan on the truck. It's like a house payment. It's like 8 years for paying off a house.
Look, Everybody has credit cards now, and you should be getting a bill. If you're not getting a bill, then I can't help you. I mean, I'm not sure what you're doing. I'd like to know if you're able to use the credit card and not get a bill. But the authorities will probably be out for you soon. But if you look on that billing statement, you will see an area that, because it's by law now, they have to tell you how long it would take to pay off your balance paying that minimal amount. So let's say you have a couple of grand balance, but your credit card bill minimum amount is $28. You are going to be paying that $2,000 for 30 years.
Yeah.
I mean, it's usury. It's absolutely criminal, but that's the way the laws are set up. At least they tell you. So, you know, overpay your credit card if you have until it's zero, and then be careful about its use. Pay it off every month. These are the things that you should be doing. If you're lucky enough to have a house and a mortgage, pay that mortgage. Pay a little bit more than that mortgage. Because if you look at the numbers on a mortgage, you know, a couple hundred thousand, at the end of 30 years, you've paid out almost $1 million in some cases. It's great. Yeah. I mean, can you imagine having $1 million in your hands? I mean,
the difference is up until recently, most of that stuff was deductible. But the point well taken. If you can pay off a mortgage early, you pay it off. If you're getting more interest in a bank or another investment, you can keep moving to that investment. But if you're paying more to the bank, to your mortgager, pay that thing off first.
And diversify. Get multiple ways of doing it. And I don't care. You know what I used to like to do is, at the end of the day, you know, you're buying a ham sandwich here, you're buying a bottle of water there, you're out, you're buying stuff at stores, you pay them in cash, and they give you back change, right? Unless you're the little old lady with the change purse and picking out, you know, to the 31 cents, you're getting back a pocket full of change. Take that pocket full of change and throw it into a drawer. Don't even look at it. Throw it into a bottle, throw it into a shoebox, whatever. At the end of the year, you're gonna have $400 or $500. $400 or $500 when you're making $15, $20, $30 an hour, is a lot of hours.
Money.
Yeah.
Money.
Right. And then take that and put it in your brokerage account.
Yeah, exactly. Well, listen, I'll end it there, guys, because I know we're all kind of pressed for time today. We're coming up on the hour. I hope people weren't like super bored on this episode. I'm hoping that people are going to maybe, I don't know, take a minute and think about what we've talked about, because I think, Josh, you gave some great information, some great
Earn the gold watch.
Yeah, and I think, you know, Dave pointed out some things, and the teaching thing, it's trying to have, I guess, a little bit of a plan on where you're going to be 5-10 years, and not just where you're going to be at the job, but where your finances are going to be. You know, it's not just, where am I going to be as a job? Am I going to be teaching EMS? Am I going to be a nurse? Am I going to be, think about, you know, your investing, like you said, you know, making it diverse so that you've got different things, and making it passive so that it's work, the money is working for you, you know, wherever it is, you know, instead of you working for it, like by having crazy, you know, credit card debt that's out there.
Let me throw in one other little point on that, is that if you work for a institution, a large corporation, whatever it is, I guarantee you within the payroll department, they have somebody who does financial advice. If they have a 401k, or if they have a way for you to take in income out and invest it, they will have somebody to advise you.
And most places, I think,
yes, but they can start you on the right path.
But a lot of places too, Josh, like every year when they have the open type thing to get into it, you know, they close it at a certain time every year. And then once they open it up for people who didn't take advantage of it, if you want to go ahead and stop putting more money in, once a year they usually do that. And they have the expert that comes in. Yeah, they have the expert that comes in, and you can, that's the perfect time to, like you said, ask the questions you want to ask and find out what's there for you and what might be the best option, you know, for you as an individual. You know, because your partner might be doing something that's way different than what you're doing. You know what I mean? You know, you might be like me and say, hey man, I'm investing in Uber. I don't care what you say. I think this thing's going to take off. And they might say to you, no, it's not. And then, you know, you go and do it anyway. You know what I mean?
And, right.
But that might be good for them. But what might be something that might be good for them might be something that somebody can suggest that's in it, that's an experience, that knows the different options that are available.
Right.
You know, whether right. like you know, whether you're just taking what the company's putting in for you, whether you're putting in and they're matching it, you know what I mean? It adds up and it becomes a plan. So I hope that people kind of take this to heart and really start thinking about that, you know, long term. So we'll end it there. Dave, you want to add anything before we head out? Because I know Josh has asked us on fire to get out of here.
No, I think today's was a good thing to think about. A lot of, and they need to know about this from the time they become an EMT.
Yeah.
They need to be thinking in this direction. We need to counsel people in that way.
Yeah, and I think like now, because it's the beginning of the year, I think it's the perfect time for people to take stock in it, because I think you're going to have these opportunities are going to be showing up now, because the companies are going to have it open. The open enrollments are going to be popping up there for this type of stuff to invest and everything. So just something to think about. All right. We'll end it there.
Happy New Year.
Yeah. All right, everybody. If you do have questions or comments, be sure to post them below. Send us an email. It's admin@emsofficehours.com. And of course, you can always post a comment or question, and we'll try to answer it, you know, wherever the hell you've seen us, whether it's Facebook or the blog or YouTube or whatever. And we'll go ahead and try to post an answer. And if you have your own suggestions, we'd love to hear that as well. So, all right, that's it, guys. As always, I am Jim Hoffman.
Josh Neff.
Dave Brenner.
Stay safe.